change, right? And so I apologize, by the way. So. All right, this is Ola coming to you live from my Empire Pro Studios. On this episode, I have probably, arguably, the greatest in the online network marketing arena. And I'm excited about this interview right here, and I know you're going to learn a lot. Dave Wood is a guy that we kind of got started around the same time online, 2009, September.
Yeah.
So that was when I came online. I had been in business for probably about 3 years plus at the time. But then I was in real estate. I got wiped out by the recession, and I came online. And that's when I met Dave Wood. And this guy has been a lot of ups and downs. We're still here, 2016. So we're lucky, man. We're just lucky because I know a lot of people that disappeared. And this guy is up to date right now. If I'm mistaken, please correct me. He's paid over $200 million personally in commissions.
Yeah, right around there. I mean, it's like right above or right below, but I haven't checked in a little while. So
without any further ado, here's the Wood. What's going on, man?
I'm just chilling out, dude. It's fun being on here, you know. I didn't actually know you still even used that name. I haven't checked on your stuff online in a while. But, you know, those of you who are listening, if you know who I am or you know who Ola is, you know, you were in that original Costa Rica intensive product I did back in 2011.
Yes. I was on that, and you know what was funny? I was looking at, we were scrambling a lot, and we had quite a few fan pages out there. There was one that said Ola M Brothers, Shola M Brothers. We had the MLM Brothers fan, and some people found one of those fan pages from way back then, and they, from the Costa Rica Mastermind training that I did with the SEO stuff, and they were messaging me from there. But I just like probably 2 months ago or so, and I just went into the message box and I saw tons of messages from back then, like a whole lot of them from people that just wanted to ask more questions about SEO. It was just funny. And you know, one of those people was, one of those people that I saw their messaging there was Matt Lloyd, before Matt Lloyd became what it is right now, you know. And I was,
Matt Lloyd, he was in my MLSP team or something.
Right?
And I can't, yeah, he came up to me in an event, like, and I can't even remember this. Like, I don't even remember doing it. And he was like, can you make a testimonial for me? And he was like, ultra quiet. And I was like, yeah, sure. What's your name? He's like, Matt Lloyd. You know? So I was like, he's like, have you ever talked to, do you know Matt at all?
I know. He was trying to do a promotion with him for one of Jonathan Budd's product at the time. You know how people get together and they do like a joint thing? Yeah, but that was funny, man. Let's keep this as crystal as possible.
Sure.
I know we could sit here and talk for the next 4 hours. And I know you could do it all by yourself.
Sure.
All right. But your story, if you give us maybe a 5 minute version of it, right? How did you get, okay, somehow, somewhere, you knew you were going to be an entrepreneur. At that point, how did you get there?
I've been like that my whole life. So, I mean, if you go back to the story of like how I wanted to be an entrepreneur, I never wanted a job, ever. Even when I was a kid. Like, I remember when I was like maybe 10 years old or something. I mean, a counselor was asking me, you know, what do you want to do for a living? And I said, what do you mean? And they're like, well, what do you want to do for a job? And I was like, I don't want a job. And he's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, you don't want to work? I said, no, I didn't say that. I said, I don't want a job. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, well, I think it's stupid. How much money do you make? Right? And he was like, that's none of your business. And I said, well, tell me how much you make. And then I got him to tell me. I can't remember. I don't even know why he did. It was like $28,000 or $30,000.
That's as real as it gets. Like, it's just,
yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So it was like, and I was like, well, I mean, like, dude, you can't even eat off that. And so I was like that my whole life. And it wasn't because I was being critical. It was just because I've never had a mind that was built to fit in. I've had a mind that's like built to create systems and think and have ideas. And so, I've been like that my whole life, and then it was just, I grew up in a family where my dad had a job, And my dad was also kind of frustrated, and he wanted to be an entrepreneur too, but I really respect my dad. He worked hard and love him. And, you know, and then I just kind of like grew up, and then I immediately tried to start businesses, and I didn't make them work, and failed for like 7 years.
Failed for 7 years.
Huh?
Failed for 7 years.
Seven, yeah. And I mean, you know, I never was really like, I never went through periods of time where I was really discouraged for a long time, but I had some pretty down times. But I'm naturally optimistic, and I also forced myself to be optimistic and learn about it. So I kept going. For whatever reason, I didn't quit, and even though I was making no money and only spending money, you know? And sometimes we don't think about that, but it's like, you know, when we get started, it's like we just, like, the amount of money that people will spend, especially if you're talking about MLM, you know, like I was doing, it's like the amount of money that people will spend to make $1 is unbelievable, and they never even think about it. And they get excited when they make $50, but really they spent $4,000 to make $50, you know? It's just a really interesting business, you know? And then I failed 7 years. I had a minor success in 2006, but that was like doing home business offline, doing hotel meetings.
Right.
And then 2009, right around the time that you were talking about when I got started online, I was really broke. And I was homeless. I was living in a van in Hawaii, and then with my ex-wife, who you know, then one day, like I lost my job. I was working a job at Greenpeace. They were the only people that would hire me without a real address. And I was hitting people up on street corners for donations because it's like you didn't need an address. You just show up and go to a street corner.
Those shoes
and
get the ones, right?
Ask for donations. You know, it's like, hey, I'm Dave Wood. I am the smelly environment guy. You know, give money to save the polar bears, right? Mm-hmm. And then, but I was good because I sold stuff, but they fired me for being late. So I got fired from like a...
For being late.
Huh?
For being late. You got
yeah, fired. Just like today, I was late for the interview, right? It's like that lot has changed, right? And so I apologize, by the way. So
okay, man. You know, this is the thing, man. You know, I keep telling people we don't get paid for doing things or being early. We get paid for getting results, you know? We get paid for getting things done, you know, and we're going to get into a lot of that, you know, and your track record is unbeatable, man. No one can, like if we go back and forth, you know, I go to events, I see people here and there, I talk to some of our past colleagues, right, and there's nothing that they could take away from David Wood. You know what you're talking about. And the result shows it.
Within certain contexts, I'm good at things and I've studied a lot, and then other things I'm not good at yet, or other things I'll never be good at, and or don't want to be. But, you know, the thing is that when you're talking about results, I like to think about it like this. It's like, however you can get results is fine, as long as it's ethical and lines up with your values. And everybody's got different values, but as long as we're being honest, if we can produce results, however we choose to do that is okay. And I, you know, for me, I think one of the biggest things that I never really did, I was just making actually a bunch of episodes of a show that I do, you know, that I just started actually. I was just telling you about that.
Right.
I just actually filmed. I mean, I have them all written out a month in advance, but I just filmed like
that. That's the total shortcut. Are you going to call it on the podcast as well?
Yeah, the total shortcut, and I just started that. I just filmed up to episode 12. I've released, I think, up to episode 7, and it's getting a ton of engagement. But I'm teaching people something short every day for about 10 minutes, and you know, I was just talking about business and just the usefulness of keeping an actual score of how you're doing with everything that you're doing in your business. You know, we get online, they talk about testing a lot.
Yeah.
And they say that you should split test everything to see which works better. And of course, I never did that ever. Right. And until the last maybe year. And then when you actually look at data and you see what's working, it's like sometimes you spend all your energy doing something that's not producing any results at all. And when you're in business, you're actually in business to create results. You're not in business to just be busy. Because if you want to be busy, you should go, you know, do something else. You know, go be busy feeding kids or something like this that's like is free. You know, but being busy is not equivalent to making money.
So now we're talking performance now. You know, which you've taught for years, but now you're getting to another stage entirely where you're measuring performance, right?
Oh, everything. Yeah.
I was getting ready to call you the king of content marketing because back then in 2009. how you launched was that webinar, that infamous webinar with the automatic some.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You remember that? That 12 grand night, right?
Yeah,
that was how I got on your team, because I bought that product that night, and
yep.
You sent us that card in the mail for everybody.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You remember that? So
yeah.
And that card was obviously selling us into your other stuff, right? But it's quite interesting, because I was getting ready to ask you the next question here. At this stage in your career, free or paid advertising?
What would I prefer, free or paid advertising?
Prefer
for myself or for
prefer, and you would advise a new entrepreneur coming on the scene, assuming they have the resources?
Well, it depends on what they're doing, okay? And it depends on who they are. I would actually, truthfully, for almost all of the population, say that they should never plan on any long-term strategy that is not based on content, ever.
Okay.
And the reason is because I have watched over the years almost everybody that I know that only focuses on paid content go broke. And there's a lot of reasons for that. The core reason for it is because paid content always has a tendency of getting more complex and more expensive and more skilled and more branded. And so if you're not building a brand, which you can only do by providing value and giving content, then paid stuff won't continue to work for you, and eventually it'll get kicked off of search networks. Now, I'm doing paid stuff now, and actually this is the first time I've really paid a lot of attention to it, because it works so well with content now.
Right.
But like, we used to get kicked off of everywhere for doing paid strategies, and the reason is because when most people think about paid strategies, what they're thinking about is they're thinking about, you know, solo ads and sending people straight to capture pages and sales videos. Well, the problem with that, especially if somebody's doing like BizOp, which is, I've been around a lot of BizOp people, but I was never really around the good paid people until I started Empower Network in 2011.
Right.
But like, what they do is they want to just get everybody to just say, hey, if you buy this many clicks, you're going to get this much money. And it's like an internet fucking slot machine, dude. And
yeah.
It's like, no, you won't make money from buying those clicks. This is not a guaranteed gambling slot machine where you can put a quarter in, pull a lever, and get out two quarters. It doesn't work like this. And so what happens is, in BizOp, people, you know, they all start promoting an offer. It converts. They start talking about how well it converts and how it's going to be the biggest thing ever because
right.
It finally converts. But it converts because it's new.
Yeah.
And so once it's not new and the whole BizOp space has heard about it 800 times, it no longer converts.
It's over.
And then all the people that survive are people that are skilled, but they keep spending more and more money to get less and less results.
So they go
the
broke.
The only thing that doesn't do that is content.
Huh? So they eventually go broke, pretty much.
Well, they eventually start spending more than they're making, and it looks like they're making money, but they're not.
Yeah.
And I'll give you an example of this. I'm not going to mention the name, but it's somebody actually I think you know.
Right.
And, you know, about a year ago, this person was really frustrated. I couldn't figure out why they were frustrated. And I was like, what's the deal? And I just kept watching them get angry and blow up. And then I hit him up and I was like, dude, let's talk. And I get on the phone with the student. And I'm like, what's going on, man? And he's like, ah, rah, rah, rah. And he was so stressed out. And I was like, dude, you're making like 15 grand a month. You never have made this much money in your life. I was like, yes, you used to make more, but you're making 15 grand a month. It's not like you're making no money. What's the deal? Right. I couldn't figure out what the problem was. And he kept talking and talking and talking. And then I was like, wait a second. Wait. Dude, how much money are you spending on traffic? And he was spending like 12 grand a month on traffic. So he's saying he's making 15 grand a month, but he's spending 12. And I'm like, why are you doing that? You do not need to do that, right? And I was like, you've been around me for years and I've told you that this is silly. But see, he wants a guaranteed internet slot machine, which the only thing that's going to work like that are the new thing. And in order to do it, you're going to constantly be having to spend more money than you're making to join the new expensive thing.
Yeah.
That then just stops working 3 months later anyway. It's not a good long-term strategy. And so I was like, man, right? But like now, like for paid stuff, like so, take for example content, right?
Yeah.
So now you can put, this is a great way of doing paid stuff, right? You have this podcast, you send people to a link. They get a bonus where maybe they get a PDF of the podcast, maybe you get a transcription, and you give them a PDF, or maybe you give them a video, or then you give them some sort of an offer. But then what you do is when they go to the link, you put a retargeting pixel, right?
Yep.
And so if they see this episode, whatever number it is, right, with Dave Wood, and they go and they see the blog post, you put a retargeting pixel, and then on Facebook it says, have you downloaded your day of one bonuses? And it's completely congruent to what they just saw. Yep. And it's so cheap to advertise and get such high click-through rates, it's ridiculous. That's great paid ads.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's all about context. It's not necessarily a fight between free and paid advertising. It's essentially to think it through, starting from the budget, marketing budget thing that you just talked about. A lot of people don't really think about that, or maybe they were not trained properly on how to manage budgets in business, right? Yeah. A lot of people obviously make a lot of the income claims, but they never talk about how much they're spending to get that kind of income claim. And business is never gambling. It's never gambling. Content marketing, in my opinion, thanks to the likes of you, I'm actually going to give you that credit because, again, you were the first. I'll say you and the SEO networkers, because we bought that course around the same time.
Yeah, I like those guys. They're good.
Right? Yeah. The content marketing thing is something that I've never stopped, and it's something that has carried me up till now, to say the least, you know, because it's like if you're looking for anything that's close to printing money, then that's it, because it's not exactly printing money you're serving. You're actually giving value into the marketplace, you know. But a lot of people don't get that. And, yeah, I'm really glad we touched on that, because a lot of people come into the game thinking they can just put in a dollar and get $3 back. You can say it that way,
no.
It's better, but it really doesn't work that way, right?
The only people, here's the thing that I've seen, okay? One of the dumbest things I ever did was, because of just some stuff I had going on in my life around 2013, I stopped making as much content as I used to make. Because making content is not time consuming, right? People are like, oh, it takes so much time. And it's like, the only people I know that are still around doing the same thing and are bigger and well known are people that constantly create content. They're it, right? So like, here's why. Like, I go back here, I got all these books on my shelf, so let's grab something random. This is a book. I heard about it originally. I still haven't read this one, but I just bought it. It's called Flow. I'll read this in the next thing. The Flow, the Psychology of Optimal Experience, okay? Got this here. I originally heard about this in an NFT trade.
Who's that? Who's the author?
This is I can't even pronounce it. Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. Right here, I'll put it on the screen so you can write that down. Okay. But if you look up Flow, the Psychology of Optimism.
Mihaly Flow. We'll find it.
Yeah. So, but this book here, for example, right? I haven't read it. I heard about it. This is an example of content. Okay, I heard about this in a training years ago, and the guy said, I read this book called Flow. And I was like, that sounds like a cool name. And I remember what he said about the book, right? And so then I'm walking in the bookstore and I'm looking in the personal development section. And I see this word and it says Flow. So what do? I just pick it up and I bought it. Now I've got this book. I still haven't read it, but I will read it because I read for like an hour a day. And then I just mentioned it. So now I'm on a podcast that somebody's downloading on the internet. And this is like 10 years later. Yeah, and they're hearing about this same book, Flow, The Psychology of Optimal Experience, which I still have not read. Well, because this guy wrote a book. Right? And now they'll listen to this audio, and there will be somebody, probably you'll be one of them, that will just be like, huh. And one day, maybe you'll not do it tomorrow, but maybe you'll go buy it, but maybe somebody else is going to be listening to this, and then they're going to be walking in a bookstore years later, and they'll be like, that's that book. Oh, they'll pick it up, they'll buy it, right? And then later in their life, they're going to be in a room doing an NLP training or something, and they're going to talk about this book because I heard about it 10 years ago.
Right.
That's what content marketing does that nothing else does. You can't do that.
Facebook would have changed their platform about a zillion times.
And here, check this out with Facebook. We used to get kicked off Facebook for everything, but now I'm running ads directly to our site that is a business opportunity.
Right.
So the other day, Facebook blocked one of my ads, and they said, you can't promote to business opportunities. So I sent them a message, and I said, watch the show, and if it doesn't give you value, then you can keep blocking it, right? So what happens? Well, today, they unblocked my show, and they said, we apologize, we reviewed it again, and they found out that it does meet our advertising criteria.
Absolutely.
Why? Because everybody, including big advertising networks, love good content.
Yep.
And good content attracts good people that are smart, that have money to buy.
Right.
The pickier you get, the less intelligent people that attracts.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yep.
So if you have no value and all you want to do is get high conversions and just send people into hardline offers, you will get people to spend money who are easy to trick.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
But if you want people that have lots of money to spend, they're going to be good customers who you can get value to, Long if time. You get them to go through good content and give them value, you attract such good people, dude. It's like night and day.
Absolutely. A lot of people used to, I have a program called the Seven Secrets to Seven Figure that I sell for $15,000. And I've sold it quite a few times. And a lot of people, I've seen a lot of those slot mindset type of people, the gambling mindset type of people, they come through, they know it all, they've seen it all, they've seen the Empower, they've seen all the different programs out there. They're like, good luck with that. They always put a comment there too. They always have something to say too. And I've sold that quite a few times. What I actually did was that it's a 2-hour content webinar, pretty much. It comes with a book. You actually download the book right after I give you as a book, the gift. I give you the audio as a gift at the end as well too. The book is essentially the transcript of the webinar, you know. And at first I was selling it. I started selling it back in 2012 at $5,000. And that was, it included 8 hours of my personal time. So I reduced in 2014, I reduced the 8 hours to 3 hours and I tripled the price to $15,000. And I still sold it because there was content in the first place and somebody like a quality person went through it. When I did the math, you know, based off of the, you know, like the cost per, the average cost per customer, it's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Because I took the time to put that content together. You see what I'm saying? So I think content is king. I was going to say you're the king of content marketing, at least in this arena, but content is still king, man. And thanks for covering that in details. Quick question for you.
Sure.
Struggle, right? When it comes to business, right? Since your first big breakthrough online, which I would say, based on what you just told me, will be late 2009, early 2010, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would be your biggest struggle since then?
Oh, dude, I mean, I can go through lots of things. It depends on what you want to talk about, right? But, I mean, here's the thing. Well, I'll tell you about a handful, right? And I've talked about a lot of this. A lot of this stuff is things I'm talking about in my daily show, like things I've ran into and then overcome, or things that I'm learning about now. And this is, you know, I just did a show where I was one of the quotes I said was from, I heard from a sermon that T.D. Jakes gave online. I like watching preachers. And he said, a lot of people say, I want your ministry. And I like to ask them, can you handle my pain? Right? And so the thing that sets great people apart is not how hard they hit, it's how many times they get up. That's the Rocky metaphor, isn't it? And so for me, my life has been a life of essentially overcoming struggle and just being willing to deal with it. And every time I come into something, I'm like, man, that sucks. And then I figure out a way to overcome it. I mean, these are some of the things that I've had to overcome over the last 5 years. This is since I started Empower Network. So companies going out of business, I ran into that in 2010, dealt with
right.
It. I was in love with a company that went out of business. One of the first things I experienced, you remember that, you were there.
I remember
that. And then, you know, things not growing as fast as I want, company owners not treating me well. I had $1.5 million stolen in late 2013 in Vietnam. I actually am not allowed to tell the story because I have
not. Did you say $1 million or half $1 million?
$1.5 million. And it was wired off to Vietnam, and there is a guy that has been captured by the FBI and is in jail for the rest of his life for it. Had somebody else strong-arm me for several $1 million. Lost all of my money and then had to pay a bunch of taxes. Almost went bankrupt twice from not understanding financial controls. And this is in between making a lot of money, too. Been unwise with money, spent it all. Not having good accounting systems in place, resulting in a lot of employees taking things. And basically over that whole time, what I've learned is things that you can just read in books. You know what I mean? And this is a thing that, like, a lot of people, you know, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, about the low quality of online marketing education and how unorganized it is. And a lot of this, I mean, my stuff has always been quality, but also hasn't been organized in the right way when you compare it to something like a book that you can buy for $10, right? Like, if you read this book, I mean, they'll have, like, this book. I mean, but any of these books, right?
Right.
I mean, some of them aren't that great, and some of them aren't as well thought out. But, like, most of these books, like this book, for example, this is like a book about the monetary system. You know, like people buy courses on this stuff, but like don't have.
But the information is in there for free,
huh?
So if you bought, the information is right in there.
Yeah, I mean the library card is worth like millions of dollars in education. You know, and so like this is what I've been on about lately is I got like stuff like this is like these are books that like are written on. Like, this is, like, written by, these are, like, the Harvard Business Reviews, right, these books. Because I've never read this stuff, because I've always thought school is stupid, which, right. In a certain way, I still think it is, right?
Context, right?
Yeah, kind of contextual, but not knowing this stuff that people learn in school, I would have made probably $200 million more myself, right? Because I didn't know this stuff. Like, for example, project management. I got a book up here about project management because I just basically let the guy go that I was having doing project management.
That's what I got a master's in.
Well, yeah. So, like, what do people do? Like, there's a guy, you know him. I won't mention his name. He actually runs a podcast, too. But he's really good at selling,
mm-hmm.
awful at delivering, right? And the way he manages is he basically gets really excited and tells somebody about something, right? And then continues to just throw stuff at them, but never really explains it. And then he wonders why it's not done. Now, this same guy, his books, his financials are off every month by anywhere from $10,000 to $100,000. Like, there's just that much missing every month, right? Like, he doesn't even know where it is, right? So, like, if that's how your business is running, you could end up in jail,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're never going to get done what you want to get done. You're always going to wonder why people aren't doing what you want. But it's because you don't know how to communicate in a way that's clear. Well, that's what people study in business school. And if we want to run actual businesses and not just run around being chaotic, we got to learn this stuff that people learn in school, right? Yeah. And so, like, that regular business stuff that, like, most people know, but then they never start a business or they're not creative or they don't have the energy to create something, that stuff's cost me probably $100 million.
One of the things I like about you, man, is, like you said earlier, is about learning through the process and always getting back up, you know,
mm-hmm.
and always even being, having the balls to accept and say, you know what? Yeah. I should have known that I should, you know, and that's a big part of being great, man. And, you're absolutely showing that. That's what I can relate because in 2008, my whole business, a 7-figure business got wiped out. And, for a long time, I would not, I would not say directly what it was, or you know, I would just work around. But eventually I'm like, no, I gotta talk about this. And part of the reasons why I'm doing this podcast and this content is because it helps me myself through the process. And I've learned so much over the years. And you know what I found? Once I started talking about it, I noticed like you, the Ray Higdons, everybody went through this, man. Everybody went through you know, and but still, we're still here, and we're going strong. We're lucky. I'll say we're lucky, you know, to be here. But it's just fascinating to be hearing you say that, man. And you're going to places, man. You're just getting started.
So totally. Well, here's what I know now. Here's the interest. So, like, this thing that I'm doing, right? Like, not everybody understands, like, the stuff that I've been working on in the last month.
Right.
Here's what happened to me. Let me tell you about here's probably one of the biggest lessons I've ever learned, right? Like, because people have some perceptions about me, and some of them are true, and some of them are because of things that I've accepted from other people, and then some of them are just bullshit, right?
Right.
I sold a lot of stuff, and so what I learned was, like, for example, back when I wasn't known, I never had anything negative about me, nothing, right? There was, like, zero negative. And then all of a sudden I've got all these affiliates and like we're doing, you know, 5 million a month in sales and like we're in 200 countries. I didn't know there was 216 countries. And then like, you know, and it's like, you know, it's almost like what's going on. And I'm having people randomly hit me up if I'm traveling to Mexico and be like, are you Dave Wood? You know? And then all of a sudden people start making up bullshit, you know? And that's like, do you even know me? You know, if I used to get mad, I used to reach out to people and I'd be like, dude, do you know who I am? Mm-hmm. I know. I'm like, what the hell is this? You know, but now I'm just like, yeah, I don't even care. It is what it is, but there's no negative. But then when people know who you are, right? Number one, your actual flaws get talked about because you're like a celebrity, right? And everyone has flaws, you know? So they talk about that and it's like, well, yeah, I do that crinkly forehead thing.
Oh, well.
pussy's a little big, you know, and I should probably take more showers or dress better, you know. I was like, my God, people, do something good with your life. But, you know,
it exposes you to a lot. And then you get stronger too, as long as you maintain, you know.
Here's what happened to me. All right, a handful of things that I've learned, biggest lessons that I've learned. Okay, number one, when I started my company Empower, it was my vision. I directed the whole thing, all of it, and I gave too much credit to people that I didn't really need around. Honestly,
well, I know that because I was there on day one. Right,
you saw it. Yeah, you saw it, and you saw who they were. Yeah, I gave.
I know the part where you told the story to share your credit a little bit too. But go ahead.
Yeah, and the thing is that here's the thing. Then I let people convince me after that number one, I needed them there, and number two, right now I like people, but it doesn't mean I need them there. And number two thing though is that I couldn't do it without them. And then I let people convince me that I didn't know how to run an actual business, and I needed this other person there to run my business. And so because of that, I let people try to do what I knew how to do, and it's not their vision, right? So I think about it like this. It's like God puts a vision in your heart, right? And it's your vision. That's your responsibility. Yeah. It's not my responsibility to create Ola's vision, right? That's yours, right? If you don't create it, it'll be taken and given to somebody else, but it's not mine, it's yours, right? Right. And so if I give my vision into somebody's hands and I don't take care of it, right, that's not their vision. And so, like, I was letting people just basically run my company into destruction, right? And so what I decided to do was I decided to go back to how I started it, but without any of this, I need this daddy figure there crap. Because I don't, right? So I let like maybe 40% of the people in my organization go all at once. And I went in and I just started doing it myself. But here's the thing, in doing it the way that I want to do it and being willing to direct it, everything that I want to get done is getting done the way that I want for the first time since 2011, right? And it'll take from here 90 days to create a momentum wave from that because everything that I'm doing is creating things exactly how I know they should be created. What I learned was that, number one, you don't need to take people's crap. Number two, right now people are giving you crap. Everybody's got flaws, right? But you have a choice when people are giving you shit, right? You can either, it's not like I'm going to get mad at them. I don't want to get mad at them and blow up and control what they do. They can do what they want, but not around me, right? So I'm not going to let somebody can go out there and they could be a womanizer and sleep with as many chicks as they want. I ain't going to let them in my house, you know what I mean? I was talking to somebody about that the other day about a situation that you know about, but you don't know the whole story. I tell you about it sometime. Yeah, you know some of it, right? Yeah. Some of it around the bringing people into business that you shouldn't thing, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I told him as an example, as a metaphor. And I was like, he's like, well, yeah, but that person hasn't done anything around that here. I was like, well, if somebody's a rapist, they haven't raped your daughter either, but do you leave them in the same room alone?
Probably you shouldn't.
Yeah, no. Right? Like, No.
Probably no.
I said, well, there you go, right? Yeah. Don't let people into your business that are rapists and con artists, right, in business, because a lot of them are there. And then what I learned, too, is that people will either seek to produce results or to plunder. I was reading about this in a book the other day where some people, they seek
to create wealth or to plunder.
Yeah, people create wealth by producing or plundering. And it's always the natural tendency of human beings to plunder, right? And because if they could just take somebody else's wealth and they don't have to produce it, and some people, because they get results doing that one time, right, they think that that's the way to create. But if you learn to produce your wealth by giving, right, by giving value, and that's what content is really about, then what happens is you're going out there and you're creating value in society. Right. And the thing is, nobody gets mad at value. Nobody. Right? See, sometimes you have like a business or something like this. And I was talking to, we have a thing called the Legacy Mastermind. It used to be called the Leadership Council. It's like a council of leadership inside my company. And, you know, they were talking, they're like, how do we sell more of this thing? Right? It was a particular product we have. Mm-hmm. I said, you guys want my honest opinion and this is what we're going to do? And they're like, what? I said, there's two choices. Number one, sell it harder. Mm-hmm. Number two, create more value by actually make it something that people are like drooling at to buy because they can't live without it, and it actually over-delivers on that.
Yes.
If we do that, right, there's a saying in marketing, and it says this. It says, great products make selling easy,
yeah,
and great selling makes marketing easy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Or no. Great products make marketing easy. Great marketing makes selling easy. That's actually
right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so if you're missing the great product part, yeah, right, then what do you got to do? You got to sell more and push harder.
Yeah, it's just...
Right?
Yeah, I don't like
and well, other people are giving stuff for free. And the tendency, especially like with education, okay, yeah, so where's that headed, right? Well, it used to be like, for example, right, like you could charge tons for small amounts of education,
mm-hmm,
which you can still do.
Right.
But now the quality of free education has been surpassing all of that paid education.
Yeah.
So now it's producing a problem for digital marketers where it's like, how do you, and it's always been like this, but people just don't realize it, but now they're realizing it. But like, how, like I got this business, you know, Harvard Business Review book for $10 or $20.
Okay, yeah.
How do you charge $4,000 for something that is, this is more valuable?
Right.
Right. And so it's like, there's got to be, you got to change the way that we market a little bit if we want to stay congruent. And I guess
that's also part of the packaging and the presentation, the way it's presented, you know, that has value in it, you know,
how totally
it's presented. And
mentoring has value, right? What's the value of a mentor, right? But like this audio, for example, right? This audio. So people are learning things and they're getting ideas for free.
Right.
And this is like, there is less quality,
mm-hmm,
right, that people charge for.
Absolutely.
A lot more. All right?
Day long.
So you're giving this for free as a lead magnet.
Yeah.
Right? That is the future. That's the future of education, is people are going to be paying for more mentorship and intimate environments.
You know, what right. I've always done, what sustained me all these years online is I haven't really charged much for just content.
Mm-hmm.
I give all the content. The only thing I charge for is my personal time and actual done-for-you execution. So in other words, executing what you're learning, you know? Like for example, putting your whole funnels together. Like, for example, putting the whole pre-foreclosure campaign together to help somebody get leads for real estate deals and stuff like that. Those are the things I've charged for, but not necessarily the content. You know, and the same thing is happening with musicians. Musicians are still out here crying about not selling CDs, and that you can't, your music is a marketing material. You need to go out there and look for money some other ways, and not necessarily from trying to sell CDs, you know? And it's the same thing that's happening all across information products, you know?
Well, and this is something that, like, this is hard, right? Because, and this is something that I've heard, and then I said, and then it happened to me, right? And so it's like, oh, shit. It's like sometimes it's like, oh, yeah. But then it happens to you, and the thing you're working on, you're like, oh, shit.
Right? I didn't know.
So it's like, well, let me tell you what it is, okay? So it's like, I was listening to this Gary Vaynerchuk, right? And why do I listen to Gary Vaynerchuk? Because he got good content, right? So I was listening to Gary Vaynerchuk the other day, and he said that bullshit.
Hello, baby.
Yeah, he's like, everybody does, right? He's like, real entrepreneurs work with, I can't remember the exact, but it's like real entrepreneurs work with how it is. It's like, but bullshit entrepreneurs always are whining about how they wished it would be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you don't make money off of how you wished it would be. And that's the reality. You make money from what people will spend money on and not anything else. Right. So you got to look at how it is. And the reality is that how it is always getting better.
Always.
And but we got to learn to accept that and learn that change is the only constant.
That's it.
And so as we move through time, we're going to have to adapt our model. And we're going to have to change the way that we're selling and the value and the quality of what we're selling if we want to stay in business, right? That's just the way that it is. And there's certain things that we'll be able to sell at one point that we won't be able to sell in the future. They'll be outdated in the future. We'll have to change the model in the future to be able to sell, right? And all of the things we teach based in technology will change, all of it. So it's like I can tell people like a great podcast strategy, and it's like, the only thing I'll say about podcasting is that the more value you give
content
and the more quality of the content,
yeah,
and the more consistent you are and the better you make it over time, the more it'll keep working. But every other mechanical variable of it will change.
Absolutely, because the minimum wage activities that will be done by a machine, and that thing will continue to evolve.
Oh, totally, totally. And we can't expect of other people for them to continue behaving in the same way with money when the ways that money is operating is changing.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's like one year, you know, you get a real estate or whatever, and it's like the government has some loan rule, and it's like you get loans, and it's like, you know, hotcakes, you know, getting people to buy stuff that's like $200,000, and then all of a sudden one day, president steps in office, signs an executive order, changes the whole loan structure in North America, and you're screwed. And then you're like, man, if only the government didn't do this thing. And you're like, but they did.
Yeah.
They did. This is the story of life. I just did one of the episodes that we released in a couple of weeks here, or maybe 5 days, I think, at that one. And it was about the 5 laws of decline in civilization, right? And there's only a couple things you can do. To change your business. And one of them is not to just force the way that it is to work if it's not working. You cannot take something that's no longer working and force it to work. You can change it, right?
You have the power to change, which is the hardest thing for us as human beings, but you just have to do it.
Well, yeah, and even with you, it's like people are always changing, right? And so it's like, what I learned is that, like, loyalty, real loyalty with people, okay, is not going to stay there just based on the fact that they're loyal.
Are you reading my mind? Because that was my next question.
Yeah.
Loyalty, business, you know, we saw recently some shake in our little small niche, right? Many people don't know that niche is very small, by the way, but in our little small niche, we saw some shift, right? And I noticed that you, as the mastermind behind Empower, have gone through some things emotionally, but this is your baby too, right? And loyalty and business, how do you feel about it?
Well, I'm loyal, right? That's how I feel about it, right? Now, what I mean by that is this, okay? So let me give you an example, right? But this is like, what I've learned is that people are not always like this. If I ever had a leader like me, I'd do anything for him. I never have, right? Ever. And I don't mean that. I don't think I'm better than other people. I think that I have a very different philosophy set on why I do things. And I also think that I'm gifted in a certain way and not in others. And some of this isn't I've been useful, right? I mean, end of 2013, I start having pressure on an ex-partner. He wants to get out of the business, right? And I gave him 40% of my company for free. Yeah, I didn't ask him for anything. I paid for that myself. And when he was leaving, he wasn't so kind, and used threats, manipulation tactics to get a bunch of money. Right? I won't mention his name. It's fine. I'm not actually mad about it at all anymore. Right? The amount of money that was made it so I didn't make any money at all for the next year and a half. So I'm in my business. We can't pay him. I'm not making any money for a year and a half living off savings. Not telling a story, right? Because I love the people I serve, right? People who are not willing to do that will never have a large business. They won't. They won't keep loyal people around. And see, when I'm saying that, I'm not saying that to complain about the thing that happened. Okay. I'm saying that because a lot of that was, why did I give that guy part of my company in the first place? That was a mistake. He didn't deserve it, right? He didn't earn it. I just gave it to him. It was a gift, right? It was a misplaced gift. And so the thing is that, and it's not like when he was working, he wasn't doing good things. It was that was a mistake on my part. It was my vision, not his, right? And so with that, though, it's like I go through these things and I've come to some realizations. And one of the realizations that's the biggest learning that I've got, and maybe all these things are just for learnings, is that this is my vision, and I am responsible for it, and I believe in it.
Right.
And if somebody else believes in it or not, is their prerogative.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That's fine. I agree.
And you have expectation that's going to come.
Here's the thing I'll tell you, though, in this space. There is nobody other than me that has kept anything in this space remotely like this around. There's nothing like this that ever has ever stayed around longer than 2 years. Nothing.
Yeah.
Hero.
Right.
And I've been in business now for 5, and I'll continue to be in business for the rest of my life because I'm just relentless. You know? And I just keep getting up. And so with all the stuff that we see shifting in the space, mm-hmm. there's some things that I've learned and things that I've watched over the years. And one of the things that I've learned is that when people are getting something, right, they'll say all sorts of amazing things. But it's the people who will continue to do good things, even when they're not benefiting.
Right.
Because they know your heart and your intentions. Those are the people that you want to be around. And so what I've also learned, though, is that if I don't continue to learn, right, I can't continue to attract new leaders. If I don't continue to create content, I can't continue to attract great people. And so part of the process of, for me, part of my learning is the act of creating the content. Because I won't learn the same if I'm just trying to learn. But if I'm learning to teach, it's a totally different thing. Or it's like I study martial arts, and like I'm way bigger than I. You know, when you met me years ago, man, like,
don't get me to show you your old videos, man.
Like this is like weird, you know, how I used to teach. It's ridiculous, you know?
Oh man, yeah, just massive different, man. Only that,
yeah. But it's like I study martial arts, right? So like. At first, now this is a transition last year, because what happened was is I had a guy coming over my house and I was doing private lessons for 90 minutes a day because I wanted to exercise. I hate lifting weights and I wanted to be in shape, and I basically don't like exercise, right? I like doing fun things, but it's like martial arts, I like it, so I'll keep doing it. And that's actually why I do it. It's not because I think it's the best exercise. It's because I like it enough to where I'll continue to do it every day just because I like it, and therefore I exercise.
You know John C. Maxwell, of course, right?
Yeah, I was just talking about him the other day. I have some books over there.
Right, and he was talking about, you know, I forgot exactly how he said it, what is about focusing on your strength when it's time to strength or something like that, but when it's time to make your choice, that's when you focus on your weakness, when it's a matter of choice. But when it's a matter of going higher or becoming the best or the greatest, your strength, you only need this much to become above average, right? But your weakness... If you start focusing on your weakness when it's time to build greatness, it takes too far because it's your weakness, right? But if you have to make a choice, he said it somehow, I forgot exactly how he said it, but I like what you just brought up, which is if you know that you don't like doing something, right, you know, don't do it, because there's always all these other choices that you probably love doing that will still accomplish the same results you're looking to get, right? So in your case, that would be you want to work out, you want to stay fit.
So it's like, well, with that, I was actually just quoting that the other day. Now, I'm going to tell you two stories about John Maxwell. One is from 2002, one of them is from 2013, okay? Right. So 2002, I'm in an auditorium with John Maxwell, and he's speaking at an Amway convention, right? Mm-hmm. Talking about this same thing. And I just actually made a show talking about this that I recorded today that's being edited and released sometime in the next 10 days. Right? And that is like what he said. This is 2002, and I've also read this in his books. The guy's consistent. I'm going to tell you the 2013 story that you're going to think is fascinating. Right. So 2002, I'm sitting there, and he said, well, here's what he said. He said, if you take any skill and grade it from 1 to 10, you're going to be a natural in some areas as a 1, and you're going to be natural in some areas as maybe a 6, or if you're really, really good, talented, 7. He said, nobody's naturally a 9 or 10. He says, a whole life of work is going to take you 2 to 3 points, 3 if you really push in a direction. So if you're naturally a 6, you can force your way into a 9 over a life of hard work. He said, but if you force yourself to improve the 1, you'll move from a 1 to a 4 with hard work. Right. He said, but here's the thing, a 4 will not make any more than $10 an hour.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But a 9, people will travel the world to see a 9.
Yes.
So what should you focus on? If you want to make money.
Yep.
If you want to make money and that's your outcome, you should focus on where you're naturally a 6.
Yep.
Right? Yep. I can't jump naturally like Michael Jordan can.
Yeah, I was about to quote Gary Vee. Gary Vee is the one that quotes that a lot. Like, he's not going to be an NBA star. Or
I can do the Tony Robbins. I love Tony Robbins, right? But Tony Robbins, natural, like 6, no motivational speaking too, right? But then he's really natural, and then he's really good.
Yeah.
Right? He was like, I can do anything. Well, except for jump like Michael Jordan, unless there's bionic implants in a few years, in which case, the just changes anyway, because everybody can do it. But, like, the thing is that, like, there's certain things where I'm really gifted, and so where should you work? Well, working on your strengths and compensating weaknesses through systems is a smarter path for that, right? So now here's the 2013 story about John Maxwell. I'm in an auditorium. This is 2002, now 2013. I'm in an auditorium in Austin. We have 3,000 people come to this event, right? And I'm getting a massage, and the massage therapist says, what do you do? And I said, well, I run a personal development company. She says, oh, do you know John Maxwell? I said, oh, yeah, I heard him speak first time in 2002. Right. And she was like, yeah, I give him massages every time he speaks in town. And I said, really? I said, what's the, you ever talked to him? She said, I love John Maxwell. I said, what's the most impactful thing you've ever heard him say? Here's what she said about John Maxwell. Back to creating content, back in the loop, right? She said, the most powerful thing I've ever heard him say is, he was telling me a story, because I asked him, you know, how do you create so much amazing stuff? Mm-hmm. He said, well, when I was a young man, I made a decision that every day I was going to read for an hour, I was going to write for an hour, I was going to think for an hour.
Mm. 3 hours.
Yep. And I said, okay, he said that, and I said, how long ago was that? He was like, 20 years ago. And she's like, well, what happened? And he said, well, after a year, there really wasn't so much difference, but there started to be a separation between me and the people around me. Mm. After 2 years, it was a little bit more of a separation. I started to just be different. Mm. After 5 years, nobody that I had known before made as much money as me.
Yeah.
And now, there's nobody that I knew up until the point where I started that process, and then the next 10 years that makes as much money as me.
Yeah, no way. It's impossible.
So it's little things that compound. Now, I was in a 2013 later, a couple months later, it's 2 months later, 2013.
Right.
And I was actually just doing a podcast about this guy. His name's Warren Woodward. He runs a network marketing company too. It's called Life. I love Warren. Read this book. I just finished reading this book. Right?
What book is this?
Resolve, one of the best books ever, right? 13 Resolutions for Life by Orrin Woodward, right? About, you know, this took me about a week to read. I read about 1 to 2 books a week.
Okay.
Sometimes 3, you know. And but here's the thing. So I go to Orrin's house, right? And he has a $10 million house, $2 million yacht sitting there, right? And he's trying to figure out how to do this stuff on the internet, because his content's so good, he's just internet retarded. Right, like he'll figure it out eventually, but like back then at least. Now he's like moved from a 70 IQ to 75. Right, he'll get it eventually. Just give him a few years. Right, he's good. But so I went to his house and I saw all these books on the floor. It was like maybe like a shelf like this, a book this many books.
Right, on the floor.
Right? And I was like, oh, those are your books you've read. And he says, oh yeah, this year. It was March, right? And I was like, this year? It's like 100 books. It's like 3 months into the year. What the heck, man? And I like picked it up and I like, there's notes everywhere. This is not speed reading.
So
this is
not speed reading.
Yeah, this is not he bought some sort of super speed read course, right? There's notes everywhere in these books. It's not like every line, but it's like there's notes. Like on nearly every page, or like a little quote he likes, or something. And I was like, "You read fast?" He's like, "No." It's like, "How much do you read, dude?" And he was like, 6 hours a day, at least. Wow. He makes $1 million a month, right?
Almost
$1 million a month.
$1 million a month.
And that's what he makes. It's not like this internet thing where it's like I made $10 million, and it's like they did $10 million in sales.
Right, right.
He makes $1 million a month. Like he
comes in.
Nets that. Half million to $1 million a month. Every month he nets. Right? Mm. And so a very similar philosophical set to mine, but older and in a lot of ways wiser. Right? And has different skills. So I got along with him real well. I still talk to him every couple of months. But, you know, it's an interesting thing because, like, you take Warren Buffett, right?
Right.
And it's like, people are like, oh, man, what a gifted guy.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Nope.
And it's like, how much does he read? That's 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
Right? He actually said that the thing that he attributes all of his wealth to is that he reads everything.
Mm.
Everything.
Everything.
About investing. And everything related to everything he's doing, he reads.
Right.
Which takes about 6 hours a day. And so, if you look at people like that, now here's the thing. Take some other greats. Benjamin Franklin. Right?
Yeah. Yes. Benjamin Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin. Now here's something you'll think is interesting, right? Remember how I used to be a vegetarian when you knew me? Right?
Right.
You know, I'm not anymore. I haven't been for a few years, but I was a vegetarian for a few years.
You were a vegetarian? That's why you gained some weight. You were at the time?
Yeah. So for years, right? But here's the thing. Check this out. So, and I got to run in a few minutes, but I want to get this point is really powerful. Sure. Mm-hmm. So Benjamin Franklin was also a vegetarian, right? Mm-hmm. So people hear that and be like, oh yeah, animals. But I was a vegetarian because I wanted to be. I thought it was healthier. But you want to know why Benjamin Franklin was a vegetarian?
Why?
So he could save money that he used to spend on meat and buy more books.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's why you know his name. Exclusive. That's the only reason you know his name. That's it.
That's exclusive, man. That's crazy, man.
Yep. So it's like he gave up meat and ate rice and beans and like butter.
So he can buy more books.
Buy more books.
Jesus.
Right? And then you look at people spending $500 on a pair of shoes and they haven't read a book in years and they make barely above minimum wage.
All over the place, man. All over the place. I think this level that I'm taking content marketing to right now, I think it's going to be ridiculous because it's just huge, man. Content is huge. Consuming it. Pushing content out and then blessing the rest of the world with the value that we have inside of us. I think that's where it comes down to. Even the Mike Dillard's, I've been preaching this. He had this little value way of preaching it that, you know, the more value you put out into the world, the more money you're going to make, right? The same thing is consistent, man. And when people just go out there and just push $100 at the solo ad and expect something back so soon, it's little to no wonder why nothing happens, at least in the long term, you know. A quick question.
Sure.
Okay. What's the secret?
The secret to what is the question?
Well, you're like a Superman right now, okay? Because you're still standing, and that's a big deal, you know.
Yeah, sure.
You know, one of the things I was listening to John Maxwell earlier, actually, one of the things I was learning is that people have this misconception that it gets easier the higher you go. Like, people think it just gets easier the more successful you get, you know? And I don't know if you would agree that, like it doesn't get easier.
It just magnifies everything. So if you have a problem that doesn't seem to be a problem,
mm-hmm.
Well, what if you threw $10 million on top of it?
Now it is a problem.
Well, now you got the good psychopath chicks that come after you, right?
Yeah.
Like, you only get the wild, crazy ones when you're poor, right? That don't want anything and are just nuts. But you get the smart ones if you have money, right? So the thing is that it just takes whatever you are and it magnifies your qualities that are good. It magnifies mm-hmm. your qualities that aren't good. And everybody's got positives and negatives. Nobody, I don't think anybody is better than another person. They're just different. And so, you know, the secret, if I was going to say the secret, is resilience and my ability to learn and my desire to learn. Not my ability, actually, my desire. Because there's people who learn better than me but don't know as much. And that's because they just don't do it.
Right.
But just, dude, I'm here still. Right?
Right.
And for me, it's like, I believe in what I'm doing, so I continue to do it.
That's it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you, I think that there's all sorts of things. People are gifted differently, right? Like, you're gifted differently than I am. It's not quite the same. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't make one better or one worse. It just, we're different, you know? It's like, I can't do what an accountant does who's like a normal, low-paid accountant, but smart. You know, I can't do what they do. It's not my gift, and my brain doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. I can't do what a great musician does, even though they're smart, and I'm smart. It's just, they're different, right? People are meant to fit together, not meant to be good at everything. And this is the whole problem with the way school is. It doesn't teach you how to be good at who you are.
Right.
It teaches you how to be average at everything and nothing at once, you know? So it's like not useful, really, to people.
Yeah.
So like, back to the secrets, like, I realized who I am and what I'm good at. Because, you know, the thing is like, through all these years, it's like, people have always told me I'm not good at running a company and I need to do it this way or that way.
Right.
And then when I just get rid of all of them and do it the way that I was doing it originally and the way that I want, I'm actually quite good at it. Naturally. I'm actually good at being a CEO.
I would testify to that because just before the Great Empower Network started, you were doing $30,000 just from affiliate stuff. Easily.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing in marketing.
Yeah, getting good. No, I was spending absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. And so, I have literally myself only started to do paid ads this year because I'm messing around free targeting. And as soon as I get a handle on it enough to work with somebody, I just need to understand the lingo a little bit more to make sure that I can communicate right with the right people. I'll bring in a person and have them doing it. But you see, most people, even with stuff like this, they want to partner or JV or go pay somebody to learn their Facebook secrets. But the best people at Facebook ads, they make $10 an hour, dude. They're way better than all internet marketers combined. They'll sit there and mechanically split test and review data and organize stuff, and they need somebody to direct them.
Totally
right?
Yep.
They're not marketers. The best marketers in the world, the best copywriters, not the best people at mechanical clicking and stuff. Even Mike Dillard, he outsources all of his traffic to agencies and things, right?
Yeah.
So, but my point with all that is that, like, I believe in what I'm doing. I know that I'm good at it. And I've realized that I don't need somebody else to do my role. And it's my vision, not somebody else's. And because of that, I'm willing to step in there and to direct it and to get clear with everyone, and everybody loves it.
Right.
And so for me, if there's going to be a secret, it's vision, resilience.
Right.
I love people, and I will survive no matter what and thrive. I just made a decision to do it. And so because of that, what I'll do is that little things, the little efforts that I'm doing right now, not everybody really understands. If you look at it though, dude, it's quality stuff. Like if you go look at the this is your show, so I actually want to give your links out. I don't need to give links out on shows.
Right.
Everybody always tries, you know, they get on the show and they're like,
feel free, man.
No, it's fine. I don't need it.
Yeah.
The thing is though, I'll give you a link afterwards. You go look at this stuff I just put together, you'll be like, holy fucking shit, man, this is awesome stuff. Like it's literally the best stuff I've ever put out.
No, let me just say something. I'm glad you're back to content marketing. Let me just say that. Okay. I think you made some attempts some few months back, maybe a few years back. And then you always got kicked back into this quagmire of make money right now. I'm glad you're back to content marketing. Everything else can be done by people you hire for minimum wage. Everything else to build your business can be done by, you don't need no, you don't. You hire people to do any of those other things and they don't need to be your partner either.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm glad that you're really back on that. And I think that, because Sean and I have mentioned a few times, I think content marketing and putting your stuff are powerful. You know, I remember the last time I saw you was probably in Miami. You had a little mastermind in Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, the kind of stuff you covered in that room that day in a very small room, these are powerful stuff that people will pay thousands of dollars over and over and continue to come back to because it helps them, you know? And
yeah.
Everything else, you know, like the old, I must become the biggest. You've done that. You paid $200 million.
I've never wanted to be the biggest. And that's the thing is like, you know, it's like, I never have had a desire to do that. It's never been my goal, ever. I've never wanted to be the biggest. I've never wanted to be the best this or that. It's like, I want to do something really specific. Everything that I do is revolved around helping the people that I'm specifically serving. It has nothing to do with how much I'm making or anything. Now, some of that is almost too unselfish the way that I am. But the thing is that the reason why I'm motivated to do it is because I'm not even doing it for myself.
Yeah.
And so it's a totally different motivational structure behind everything that I'm doing. And when people really get that, right, I think a lot of people, they're disconnected with who they're really meant to be. Everybody kind of feels and knows that when they're little, you know? It's like they kind of feel it, you know what I mean? Like, dude, I have a vision about me speaking on stages and stuff when I was, like, 8 years old, man.
Mm.
It's like the people have this stuff in their heart.
Right.
But The thing is that their parents shut down, spouse shuts down, society shuts it down. Maybe they shut it down through failure. And it's like, they just need somebody to, maybe they need somebody on the audio to just say, hey, I believe in you. And I do. Yeah. And realize that, like.
And you've done tons of that to other people, by the way, over the years.
Yeah. You know, look around, like that event you were at in Costa Rica. Right? Let's talk about it real quick, right? So I've done a couple hundred million in sales, made millions of dollars. Right. Lawrence Tam, he's made millions of dollars.
Right.
Another guy I won't mention, made a couple $1 million.
Damn, a lot of people.
You made a lot. I don't know how much you've made, but a lot. Right. Right? Rush Lowe made like $500,000. Mm-hmm. All the people in my house.
Right.
5 out of 5. There's another, of the other people at the event, at least half of them are six-figure earners.
Right. And all of that can only be attached, I promise you, to the content you've put out there.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's it.
Not necessarily because it was good that we touched the mass, right? But not necessarily because of any of that. It's because these people were personally touched by you putting consistent content out there. Once upon a time, the Toby and Leela's. There's quite a lot of people, you know? So I'm glad that we're still here, man. That's most importantly. And God bless all those people out there, right, as they continue their own journeys too, right? It's now your turn to ask my audience a question, right? What would you, you know, we want them to engage in the comment area. What kind of questions would you ask the people out there right now? It could come from, I'm ready to consume all the new stuff you got coming out. I actually plan to watch the one where you said, because I just saw it on Instagram too. You guys are on Instagram, marking it on there, where you said the bodyguard has something to gift for somebody, right?
Well, that's a retargeting ad. So what happened is you fired off of a pixel, right. And now you're getting a retargeting ad to go back to the site.
Right, I'm using retargeting heavy too. If you come to my page, I don't care if you opt in, I'm following you around too.
Yeah.
For a while right now. So yeah, it's beautiful stuff, especially combined with content marketing. You know, it's beautiful stuff, man. Yeah, so ask the audience a question, man, so they can go.
Yeah, my question for your audience, and if you want to pass that back to me, that's fine. I was just curious, is that what is it that you really feel that you need the most to have the success that you want that you don't have right now? Is it some kind of information? Is it direction? Is it a mentor? Is it just a simple action plan? Are you technically overwhelmed? Are you struggling to get leads? Are you struggling to get traffic? Are you struggling with knowing who to trust? Is it just overload of information? So just tell me what you want to learn. And, you know, tell Ola what you want to learn, because this would be helpful for everybody, because here's what I've learned is that if we know what you want to learn, right, and we can better solve your problems, it helps everybody win more, right?
Absolutely. We can serve you better. Man, it's a pleasure, man. It's good to catch up with you again. The other question that I skipped was partnerships. And this one, what do you think? I think you gave me an answer earlier. You said,
"Yeah, you should just." Here's what I'm gonna suggest with partnerships: is if that person was the sex that you're attracted to, would you marry them and be with them for the rest of your life, or would you just cringe and have a heart attack thinking about that? And if the answer is the latter, don't do it. And most of the people that you think about partnering with, you could hire if it's your vision. Do not get partners unless the vision was co-created with somebody else. Contract relationships, pay people a percentage for performing a certain skill, and if they stop performing, then you don't need to pay them.
Over.
Right?
Yeah.
They can still make money. They can still get benefit. You don't need partners to come in, because what happens is if it's your vision, a partner that is misplaced can absolutely ruin it. And also, if you give too much power and control to certain people, they turn bad. And certain people don't, but there's an old saying, it says absolute power corrupts absolutely. Not necessarily true, but it can be true, because when somebody can get something, this is a metaphor that I get, and this is true with partners. This is actually especially true if you're going to do something successful. If you have $1 million, right, in your house, let's say you just put it on your table and invite your 10 best friends in the world over. And then you say, guys, trust y'all. I got to take off. I'll be back in a month. Feel free to use the house. You know, I know this money is here. I don't have time to put it away. But, you know, I love all of you. And you just take off. Is that smart? That's mistreating your friends, right? Because what happens is that a person who is good, right, mm-hmm. who is good, will turn bad with something like that. Now, some people, they won't touch it. A certain amount of people, and then there's another percentage of people that will be like, you know, man, I'm really in debt, and I'll just pay off, I'll pay him later. And that's how they'll justify the stealing. But there's a percent that will be thinking about how to kill the other nine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And so it's they say in accounting, they say that good accounting controls, right, they keep honest people honest. Right. And they prevent dishonest people from doing what they wanted to already. Right? And so don't put your family's future into somebody's hands that you wouldn't go into bed with and marry for the rest of your life. If you were single and you were attracted to them, they were the sex you're particularly attracted to, right? Don't do it. Do not do it. It is a mistake, and it has the potential to totally destroy you. And I've only known in my entire life, still zero partnerships that have worked. None that have worked long-term. A lot that worked in the beginning. I know zero that have worked long-term. I know some in business. You've got the Amway guys, Rich DeVos, Jay Van Andel somehow worked it out.
Right.
But I know personally of absolutely zero.
That's just zero. Keep going.
Those are the numbers. Zero long-term, lifelong partners. And in Florida, in fact, there's laws that, there's so many examples of what happened to me, Ola, which I won't tell that story publicly. One day I may, but I don't think so. But like what happened to me was just so wrong. And apparently it's a really common thing. And there's like laws written to protect the person that actually loves the business, right? But the thing is that if you love your business, have people that do JVs and stuff, that's fine, right? Do a deal with them, that's fine. Do a contract with them, that's fine.
Right.
You know, sell a product with them, they own a percent of that product, that's fine.
Right.
But don't make them a part of your dream.
No indefinite like partnership where
none.
It's gotta be some kind of term on it.
No, you have contract relationships for a part of your business, right? That you can decide to not do business there.
Right. Right.
Okay.
That's from experience, man. From experience. Now,
from experience and from friends. Who do you know who has a long-term partnership that's worked?
To be honest with you, I don't know any. And even including family. And that takes me to the next and last question. You have your brother, William Wood, right? Mm-hmm. You have another brother that I know. What's his name?
Aki,
right? You're not in partnership. You never attempted to be in partnership with them.
Well, I sell products with my brother, Will. But actually with Will, that is one of the examples that's different, that I absolutely do trust Will. And I would be in a partnership with Will. I'm not at the moment, but I sell products with him and absolutely will reward him a percentage of that and will do business with him for the rest of my life if he wants to.
I saw that.
Will is like a guy like, hey, if I was like, you know, like if he was like a hot chick and not my brother or sister, and like, you know, I could be around him an unlimited amount of time, totally trust him.
Right.
Completely.
Yeah. You know,
that's the question you gotta ask.
I was in partnership with my brother, you know, until 2014, you know, but he went back into the business of clinical research, which was his original area. I'm gonna be his best man. In September, he's getting married in just like 30 days from now. Yeah, so I thought maybe you would have some interesting twists to that. Like you said, you know, you mentioned something earlier. Money and living something with certain type of people can change them to something else entirely, like a totally different animal, right? And I believe that. And I think it's not necessarily maybe that person or that person's soul that wants to do that. It's just the brain. The brain changes to something else entirely with that kind of exposure. And I don't want to...
I'll tell you what it is, and let's end here because I got to run. But here's what it is, man, is that the one thing that is going to be constant work if you ever succeed all the time to keep back is pride, no matter who you are.
Is what?
Pride.
Pride.
Mm-hmm. When you have contextual success, and it's always what it is, it's one area that's succeeding, or five, and then the other five not. It's a very easy jump to think that you're like some
invisible,
you know, powerful God type thing, right?
Right.
And even if you're not doing it consciously and not doing it on purpose, and
is
destructive 100% of the time. Nobody likes being around people that are prideful and arrogant. Nobody likes doing business with arrogant people.
Right.
Nobody wants to continue to be in business around somebody that's prideful. It's destructive 100% of the time. So that's the thing that I would encourage everybody on here is just, you know, I'm actually at this point afraid of getting prideful.
Me too. Me too. Humility is like, I feel like every time I take my mind off of it, then I'm already doing the opposite of it, you know? And I want to stay on top of it, make sure that...
Yeah, if you catch yourself at all, even unconsciously, thinking in any way that you're better than people...
That's it.
Stop. It's time to immediately get a notebook out, start reading again.
Right.
Right. Find a mentor.
Right.
Go to a seminar. You know, and start learning and realize there's things you don't know.
Yeah, man. On that note, man, it's been lovely. Don't forget, if you're watching this, tell us what you think is your biggest hurdle or whatever you're struggling with that's not helping you getting the kind of success you're looking for in the comment area. Thank you so much, man. And hopefully you've been enlightened, educated. I will see you on the next one. Peace.
All right, man.
Discover how to make $5,000 to $82,000 per month from flipping real estate in your backyard, even if you're on a shoestring low budget. No cash, credit, or experience required. Just simply go to www.reflipcoach.com. Hey, do you want my steps to six-figure PDF? Do you want that? Do you want my free ebook on how to make six figures income in simple steps? Simply go to networkmarketing2show.com. networkmarketing2show.com.